be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, whom with you and the Holy Spirit we worship and praise, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. And in his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 22 responsively. My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall be and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations bow before him. To him alone all who sleep in the earth bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him.
My soul shall live for him. My senses shall fear him. They shall be known as the Lord forever.
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done. The second reading is from the first letter of John, the 4th chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Our second reading today was from one of the letters that John wrote to his community. And if you read between the lines of that letter, you might come to the conclusion that the community of John was a lot like the communities that we have today. We have that saying, it takes all kinds. Well, there are all kinds in John's community. There were Christians who were very sure of their faith, maybe too sure of their faith. There were those who forgot what it meant to be baptized, to live in that baptism, to walk wet in the world. There were the folks that just plain got mad and left the church. And it seems like all of them had trouble getting along with one another. John writes, those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. Now, John must have seen something in that community that caused him to write so much about love. I counted 25 times that word love used in those few 15 verses that we read. Beloved, let us love one another. John is insistent. For God's sake, love one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, love one another. And notice that John doesn't say, you all love each other. He says, let us love one another. This is something that the whole community is called to. And if they were having so much trouble with the insiders getting along with each other, how do you suppose they were doing with the outsiders? Our first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles tells the story of Philip. Now, Philip had no trouble at all with outsiders because he himself was an outsider. This is not Philip who is the apostle. This is not the Philip who was one of the chosen 12. This Philip was a deacon who was one of those seven who was given the task of caring for the needy, taking care of the widows and orphans. He was like the head of the first century Jerusalem taco program. And when the persecution started, after Stephen had been martyred, and all the Christians were scattered to different countries and different areas, Philip ended up in Samaria, a land of strangers, foreigners, different from himself. And yet, in this foreign land, in this foreign country, Philip was doing a bang-up job of preaching. He had many people coming to him, asking for baptism. He was performing miracles, healings, and other miracles that brought people to him to listen to the good news of Jesus Christ. And Philip was doing a great job. And wouldn't you know, just like God, God sends an angel and says, Philip, I know you're doing a good job, but get up and go. In fact, he says, get up, go towards the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. I would guess that not too many of us would be that quick to do exactly what this voice of an angel would say to us. I know I would have a lot of questions. Just exactly how much of a wilderness is that road? How long am I supposed to be there? What am I supposed to do? I would have a lot of questions. But even though we may not be so familiar with answering the command or the call of an angel on the first word, we all know what it means to be on a wilderness road. I think we can really relate to being on a wilderness road. We know what it's like to find ourselves in new places, in uncharted waters, to feel insecure or unsure of the direction that we should go. We know what it's like to be on a wilderness road, to wonder what's up next for us. What does our future hold? We know the wilderness road of the death of a spouse or our own illness or disease. We know the wilderness road of no job or a new job or retirement. We know the wilderness road of trying to make decisions and choices in our life, or choices that for our children or for our parents. We know what it's like to be on a wilderness road. And so Philip finds himself on this wilderness road, and he meets another traveler, another outsider. The Ethiopian is really an outsider. He's a person of color. He's a foreigner. He has, let's say, complicated gender. He is wealthy. He owns a chariot and a scroll, signs of wealth, and he works for the foreign government. He was reading the prophet Isaiah as he rode along, coming from Jerusalem, going back home. Now, he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, but because he was a foreigner, and because he was a eunuch, he would not have been allowed in the temple. They were not allowed in the temple, so he was an outsider, but he was still a seeker. He had gone anyway. He had gone to worship, even though he wasn't allowed to be a part of the community. And Philip heard the Ethiopian reading, and he ran up beside the chariot and enters into a conversation. I love this scene. I can just imagine this. Either it was a very slow chariot, or Philip was a great sprinter. The chariot's moving along, being pulled by a horse, going along, and here's this man sitting. And in those days, people read out loud. They didn't read silently. So he was reading out loud, and here comes this guy running up alongside, talking. Can you imagine driving down the street, and someone's at your window all of a sudden talking to you, entering into this conversation? And he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian didn't understand what he was reading. He didn't understand any more than the apostles understood what happened on Easter morning. He didn't understand any more than Paul understood what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He didn't understand any more than you and I understand all the curves and the bumps in our wilderness traveling. We all need a guide. The early church really understood that. Really understood that we need guides. The baptism rite includes sponsors and the community, stressing that truth that faith doesn't come alone. We don't get that all by ourselves. We don't walk along that wilderness road without a guide. Today is Mother's Day, and I would venture to guess that a good number of us would point to our mothers or to our grandmothers or to some female teacher early in our life as a person who had led us to the faith, who had first guided us and mentored us along the way in our faith. But a lot of us, or some of us, a few of us, haven't matured very much in our faith. Some of us, and I know this happens to me on occasion, I'm like, sometimes I've got stuck in the terrible twos of development. I want to do it myself. I pull away from God's direction. I pull away from other people helping me and guiding me. I stop my foot and say, "No, I'll do it my way. Thank you very much." Probably not the "thank you very much" part even. Some of us get stuck in that development of our faith. We think we can do it alone. We want to do it our way. We don't want any guides or any leaders. But faith is a team sport. It's a group effort. Christianity can't be lived alone. You can't be a Christian all by yourself. In fact, Christian implies community, a part of the body of Christ. Not just me and Jesus, but we in the church. Being a Christian is all about relationships. Your relationship to God, God's relationship to you, your relationship to one another, our relationship as a community. Christianity is all about relationships. Philip's relationship with the Ethiopian started with a conversation about Scripture. It started with Philip sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center of that relationship, the center of our faith. We have to be connected to that center, connected to Jesus, connected to the vine, in order to live, in order to grow in faith. The Ethiopian, this one who had been excluded on so many counts, knows that he wants to be included. He knows that he wants to be in a relationship. He knows that baptism is a way to be connected, and he wants to do something along this wilderness road that will connect him to Jesus, to others who are on that faith journey. He wants to do something that will connect him to that Christian community. "Look, there's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized?" along our wilderness roads, we ask ourselves that very question. Look, there's the water. What's to prevent me from living my baptism? What's keeping me from being connected to that vine and producing much fruit? What is it that's keeping us from being centered in Jesus Christ? What's keeping us from loving one another? What's keeping us from growing in our relationship with God and with each other in this Christian community? The good news is that the answer to that question, what's keeping us from living our baptism, what is to prevent us from living out our baptism, the answer is nothing. Nothing. Jesus has removed all the barriers that keep us from being connected, the barriers that would keep us from loving one another, from living out our faith. Jesus himself walks beside us, along with us, on our wilderness road. He has gifted us with moms and guides and mentors and faith community and leaders and helpers, direction signs along the way of our wilderness walk. He has invited us to leave our outsider status and become insiders, to stay connected to him, to produce much fruit, to bear fruit, because he has first loved us. What is preventing us? What is there to prevent us from living our baptism? Nothing. Jesus has removed all the barriers from our being connected and producing much fruit. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for those who walk alongside us on our wilderness road. Center us in you when we feel lost and without a guide. Connect us when we feel cut off, outside, excluded. Baptize us with your Spirit that we may be refreshed and encouraged. Prune away anything that prevents us from living as your precious baptized children. Beloved, let us love one another. Amen.